AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast in which we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the media business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. With the Taylor Swift concert film cleaning up at the box office, it's just another sign of what an incredible year it's been for the live music business overall. That's why Variety Intelligence Platform released a new study this week in partnership with UTAIQ, the research arm of the UTA Talent Agency, that digs deep into the market dynamics of the concert business. So today, I'm talking with a few of my partners on that study, starting with Joe Kessler, global head of UTAIQ, and continuing with Heidi Chung, my colleague at Variety Intelligence Platform. To sample that study, just visit variety.com/livemusic, and we'll be back with Joe and Heidi in just a moment.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we are back with Joe Kessler. He is the global head of UTA IQ, the Research Analytics and Insights Division of the UTA Talent Agency.
So we're talking with Joe Kessler, global head of UTA IQ. That's the Research Analytics and Insights Division of the UTA Talent Agency. Thanks for taking some time out, Joe.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
And thanks for collaborating with me and VIP on this study that we went pretty damn deep on the subject of concerts and festivals, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did. And it just seemed like the timing was appropriate for that, given all the reporting and headlines that have been out there over the last several months. So it was a pleasure to work with you, and it was I think a very productive exercise.
Yes. So now that we've resurfaced after all this time, what did we learn? What did, you know, obviously this has been this incredible year for the live music business, but what do you think was ultimately the takeaway? What was top of mind for you to explain this incredible year for this business and why there was this tremendous, tremendous uptake for the live music experience?
Yeah, well, I don't know that that's a simple answer, but I think in having, you know, just been deep in the research for several weeks now, really a few months, I think where we're at is sort of a perfect storm for what's occurred in the live music business here in the last I don't know, 6 months or maybe even full year or more. On the one hand, our research showed that much of the activity and positive signals for the music business is being driven by the generational cohort that we've come to know as millennials. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, millennials have been passionate about music as a sort of definer for their culture since they were children. And I have actually been studying millennials for probably 20 years now, since they were children. Mm-hmm. And now this whole generation of millennials has entered into and matured into this period of their lives where they have more disposable income than they've ever had before. They're in their peak earning years. So I think that's one factor. I think another factor, and probably one that's diminishing over time, but still present, is we're in this post-pandemic period where people have been spending more time alone, more time at home, and are craving the company of their peers in sharing the sort of passionate experiences that live music concerts and festivals represent. And then third, I think that in a world in which our lives are becoming increasingly virtual, and we're spending more time in front of our screens, I think fans of all ages are craving distinctive in-person communal experiences, and live music seems to be filling that need. And I would add, Andrew, that I am personally an avid concert goer and have been my whole life, like many boomers. And I see that in the concerts that I've been attending this past year, the passion and the shared experience with people singing along to the lyrics and just the energy in the arenas and the clubs and the stadiums. I've never really experienced anything like it before. Well, that really came through in the research.
And that may also explain why, you know, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is translating so well to movie screens. On the other hand, that doesn't necessarily tell us why the movie business and cinemas in general isn't doing that well, because it's not as if the shared experience is doing that well week in, week out when we look at the data.
Right. And I think, you know, by the way, we did a study earlier this year on the film business. I know you guys have covered the film business, theatrical film business, quite a lot in the last year or two and as well. And I think we know that there's probably, and it seems to be indicated from the research, that there would be a proclivity for more consumers to go into movie theaters if there was that kind of experience that they get from live music. If there was, and we've seen it, by the way, for instance, in theaters that offer exceptional experiences, IMAX, for instance, doing very well, even at times when overall the theatrical business has not done as well consistently. We did have that, of course, that momentous weekend this summer, the Barbenheimer weekend this summer. But that, I think the Barbenheimer weekend showed that if you deliver to people the kinds of content that they're really striving for, they'll show out, and they did for those films. But clearly, I think that shared experience that music brings is doing that, and the way in which these tours have been both marketed and presented, and they are, I think, a lot of tours bigger and more thoughtful than they've ever been, and I think is bringing people back to those arenas. But we also know it goes well beyond Beyonce and Taylor Swift. We're seeing this at kind of all levels of the live touring music business.
Well, by the way, we know Beyonce is going to be following Taylor to theaters. Do you think maybe we'll see some legs on this trend, and we could see yet more of the many acts that did well in arenas and stadiums following them to theaters, perhaps in 2024?
I hope so. I mean, I do think that some of the demand here, at least is from an industry standpoint, and we know that both of these films, the Beyonce film and the Taylor Swift film, are both being released by a theatrical distributor, a theatrical chain, AMC. And I think in large part, they're doing that out of concern for the lack of content that's coming through the system from the studios at this point. But I think if they're successful, and all indications are that they will be, the pre-sales on the Taylor Swift movie are almost unprecedented. I think that we should see more, and I certainly hope that we will. I, for one, being of a certain age and generation, had an exceptional experience a couple of weeks ago with seeing the re-release of the great Talking Heads concert film, Stop Making Sense. I'm not sure how well that did. I haven't seen the numbers recently, but I know it was a very limited release, so I'm not sure it's a good comp. But I think if, for instance, if an act like Bruce Springsteen or the Eagles or some of the more legacy acts decided that they wanted to put their recent tour footage on film, I think that they would be met with pretty significant success here as a result of that.
So clearly, though, you have great optimism for the live music business. But when I think about your perfect storm theory, you know, the second leg of it, the post-pandemic theory, I should say, I mean, that's going to be exhausted in time if it isn't already on its last legs. I mean, so what makes you confident about the long term when perhaps the second leg of that theory could already be exhausting itself?
Well, I think if two thirds of the storm holds up, it's still going to be pretty good for the music business. And I do think that the third one, probably in the same pace at which the post-pandemic factor might erode or ebb, the notion of increasingly automated, increasingly virtual time in the consumption of media. And again, another factor, really interesting article in the New York Times this week about the impact of streaming on movies and how movies tend to sort of sink into the streaming universe as opposed to push out to consumers. Excuse me. And I do think we're going to see, as streaming continues to become the norm in terms of how people consume content, particularly film content, but also TV content, They're going to be doing some more alone, more in smaller groups, more in isolated places. And I think that will continue to accelerate. Another point from the survey that I think is compelling as it relates to the future, and I should mention that most consumers told us that they'd be more interested to continue and to go to more concerts and spend more money on shows than they have before going forward, is the degree to which people are traveling and going and traveling longer distances to go to shows. And I think that's really indicative of the sort of deep-seated passion that people have for these shows. I'm going to reference the research, but 58% of our respondents told us that they had flown within the US. I'm sorry, 39% of our respondents, 58% of millennials, told us that they would go specifically fly on an airplane within the United States to go see a live music event. And about 6 out of 10 who had done it before told us that they would do it again. If people are traveling to other cities and to foreign countries to see shows, I think that speaks to how deep the passion and the interest in this medium runs. And I would also mention that more people are seeing shows repeatedly on tours. I'm sure that was influenced heavily by the two big tours of the summer, you know, Beyonce and Taylor Swift. But across the board, the behavioral aspects of some of the results of the survey that we've seen show us that more people are going to more shows on given tours than they have before. I don't know about you, but historically, I hadn't really never gone to shows more than once on a single tour. I might see separate tours of a given artist, but going to multiple shows on the same tour is, I think, in general, outside maybe the Grateful Dead and Dave Matthews Band historically, has been kind of a unusual activity and unusual behavior, but it seems to be not so unusual anymore. So I think when you look at those things, you can see that there is a degree of sustainability with this current trend. I would point to one other aspect as well, and that is both through their travel and through their orientation toward buying tickets for concerts and festivals, upgraded tickets like VIP packages and things along those lines, which we also saw considerable increase here in the study, is particularly telling at a point when the economy is obviously not in the best condition it's ever been. It's probably maybe not quite as bad as some had thought it would become, but certainly it's not in the greatest position. We've seen inflation in so many different sectors of our lives, and the fact that people are still willing to invest and spend more on their concert going is, I think, indicative of the fact that this is going to sustain. How far ahead we can look, I don't know. That's hard to say, but I think for the foreseeable future, we're going to see a continued very vibrant live concert business.
Yeah, you got to wonder whether artists and the businesses that represent them truly understand, and I wonder how much our survey will open their eyes to that, just how much of their audience is, you know, repeat business. My favorite data point was this. 10% of live music goers said they have seen the same artist perform live more than 10 times. I mean, rabid loyalty there. And it really goes to the bottom line.
Yeah, it really does. And I think, you know, I think any brand marketer would tell you that, you know, loyalty is the holy grail, right? Getting people to come back and sample the same product over and over again, or consume the same product over and over again, is sort of the holy grail. I think music has achieved that. I do think one of the interesting sidelights to this is the impact on brands that, of course, are struggling to reach consumers of certain demographics more than they ever have before, many of them living beyond the reach of advertising with streaming and YouTube and others. And with how and to what degree will brands recognize the power of music as a means of associating with that kind of passionate and loyal consumer? And will that transfer to brand loyalty when brands can facilitate the ability for fans to have a better experience at these shows? And I think some of the data we've seen out of the promotion companies has indicated, I know Live Nation came out with a study not long ago about this, has indicated that they're seeing a lot of growth in that area. We didn't look at that directly in our study, but I trust that they're that they are they're being honest with us, and it doesn't surprise me that that's the case.
I mean, I have to say, we didn't look at the sponsorship side of the business in the survey, so you'll have to educate me a little. Is that, have we seen sponsorship dollars flowing in a healthy direction as the rest of this business, you know, with revenues and attendance and whatnot? Are they all flowing in the same direction in proportion into each other?
Well, firsthand, I can just tell you anecdotally within the work that we do at UTA, that our brand partnership group is way busier than they've been, at least in my tenure. I've been at the agency 7 years. I worked at one of our competitors for 9 years before that. I've never seen the brand partnership space in music more active than it is now. And then from a sort of second party perspective, I'm just following what the Live Nation study has told me, and I'm following the quotes from those who are promoting the tours, and they're telling us that brand spend is way up in this space, and I'm not surprised on that based on the anecdotal evidence I see from my colleagues at the agency.
Got it. Well, I can only imagine the health of companies like Live Nation going into 2024. It's, you know, especially when you think about the rest of the entertainment business right now, which is struggling in a lot of different departments, to have a business this robust is got to be a godsend in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I would think so. Like another issue that we hadn't talked about a lot and we didn't really address in our study, but came up in a conversation I had with a colleague recently was, you know, a lot of the struggles of the film entertainment business, television and film, the content business, is the hand-wringing around the potential impact of artificial intelligence that's coming upon us. And I think, you know, these live experiences, I think, can be, based on what we know now, can be significantly enhanced by the technology presented by artificial intelligence, but ultimately can't really be replaced in the same way a piece of recorded narrative content can. It's virtually impossible to replace the experience that you have in the lead up to going to a live concert and having that kind of shared experience. I think the same would be true of sports, which is also doing very well right now. Even baseball, which I think a lot of people had left for dead several years ago, has saw an uptick this year in attendance, has seen an uptick in ratings. I think sports is another sector like music, live sports, that is, you know, seeing a resurgence as well. And I think similarly there, while there are ways to potentially enhance the experience with AI technology, I don't think it's going to be nearly as disruptive for those for music or for sports as it could potentially be for filmed entertainment.
How refreshing is it to hear about a corner of the business that is not going to get thoroughly disrupted by AI? Well, Joe, appreciate you taking the time to walk me through this. It's been such a pleasure to work with you on this. Looking to collaborate with you more in the future. And appreciate your time.
Same here. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, Andrew.
We'll be back in just a minute with Heidi Chung, my colleague at Variety Intelligence Platform.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
We are back with more with Heidi Chung, my colleague at Variety Intelligence Platform, who worked with me on this study about the live music business. So let's start with just how big 2023 was for the concert business. It's obviously not over, but I think we've got plenty of months under our belt and we can see just how big it was.
I mean, there's certainly a reason why we decided to do this study at the time that we did it, right, Andy? It's because all the headlines, all the numbers are basically telling us that 2023 is about to be a record-breaking year. Live Nation, who is, of course, the largest producer of live music events, CEO saying back in July that this was their strongest second quarter ever, with 2023 is being on pace to be a record year. And even early indicators for 2024 saying, you know, that's going to be another strong year in the books for not just Live Nation, but the entire industry as a whole. Really good data that we got from...
I think it was Polestar.
Yeah, it was Polestar saying that the top 100 worldwide tours, the average mid-year gross was about just under $1.5 million this year so far. And that's already 65% higher than the same period in 2022 and 61% above 2019. So it's already far exceeding last year and even more importantly, the pre-pandemic levels as well.
It's insane. It's insane. And you could imagine what Q3 looked like. I think I saw some Polestar data saying 50% year over year, which of course has to have everything to do with two particular individuals. And we're talking there about Taylor Swift and Beyonce, who had, I mean, to use the word astronomical tours is an understatement. We just saw, I think the Beyonce tour just finished up. I think the number was 570 million. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Swift, who I just referenced off the top, who's now moving into theaters. And Beyonce, by the way, of course, is going to follow later in the year. Her tour, which will continue later in the year, they're saying this could go to 1.4 billion, possibly even 2 billion. It's insane.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I think that's why we're seeing firms like PwC really give such a positive outlook for the future, even beyond from here. The U.S., we're expected to see live music revenue total about $9.5 billion. And that number is expected to balloon to about $10.5 billion by 2027. And the same goes for global numbers as well. It's expected to increase very rapidly over the next few years. So I think this business is showing no signs of slowing down. I don't know if we're going to have Taylor Swift, Beyonce, you know, level shows here in the near term, but you know, I don't want to count anyone out, and I think that we're going to see a lot of growth going forward.
Yeah, and we'll get to 2024 in a second, but I think we got to talk about this survey that we did with our friends at UTA, who did just a bang up job, and we're really appreciative of the work that they did. What was interesting, I think, was that when we dug into the consumer sentiment and learned more about how consumers were feeling about the concert experience, we realized that it wasn't just as simple as what I think probably a lot of people think, which is like, oh, Taylor and Beyonce were huge, therefore the entire business was huge. And, you know, oh, it just must be that lots and lots of, if you read the press, it was, you know, so many women are coming out for Taylor and Beyonce. The narrative wasn't so simple. And I think the first thing that struck me when I was looking at the survey data was the gender thing, that there was, it wasn't just about, oh, women are coming out in force. It seemed like men were also a big part of the story when we looked at the survey data, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And to be fair, before we ran this survey, I would have thought the same thing, that it was Taylor and Beyonce and a bunch of women really driving up the live music business. But like you mentioned, the survey actually told us a much more complex story about who exactly was driving the surge, not just this year, but also pre-pandemic. And men are super underappreciated in that sense. Now, our survey found that men were more likely to have gone to a concert this year, with 42% saying that they've attended a live music show in the past 12 months. And that compares with just 31% of women. And men were almost twice as likely as women to say that their concert attendance increased over the past 12 months versus pre-COVID. And on the flip side of that, Andy, one third of women said that their concert attendance in the past 12 months actually decreased compared with COVID. So yeah, as you see it in our survey results here, you just can't deny that men are really the ones that are driving a lot of this growth that we've seen over the past couple of years.
And of course, by the way, we're not saying men weren't going to Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Like,
right.
I'm sure they've had plenty of male fans. That's clear. But another thing we also found out was it wasn't as if just like pop and R&B were drawing people to these concerts. There was a very clear, broad base of genres that were bringing people out. When you looked at, there really was no one dominant genre. There was this rising tide lifting many different genres across the board.
Yeah. So when you remove both pop and R&B, you still have strong showings across, I don't think I even have to say this for a lot of people to know, but Latin was huge, K-pop being another one. And 9 out of the 10 top tours between November 2022 and April of this year were for male performers.
Yeah. Yeah. Country music, I think, had a great year. Morgan Wallen, I think, was one particular name that stood out and had probably the, no, not probably, definitely the biggest tour ever for a country music artist. What we did in the study that we put together was we had a slide where we actually removed Taylor Swift and Beyonce's numbers, which again, to be clear, head and shoulders above the rest. Yeah. We're not taking that away from anyone. But when you removed them, we wanted to show that there were so many other incredible performances that this year that were being overshadowed. Harry Styles had an incredible year. Elton John would probably be the name everyone was talking about this year were it not for Taylor and Beyonce, because he had a record year because of the tour that he had been on maybe 4 or 5 years now that culminated in 2023. Coldplay, another huge tour that ended in 2023. So a really broad base of performers across a lot of genres that in any other year would have been hailed, but got overshadowed just because of these two other women who had, again, years like we may never see ever again.
It's really incredible, I have to say. And also, I do want to point out that data point that you're referring to from Billboard Box Score, if you take a look at July and you strip apart the Beyonce of it all, the Taylor Swift of it all, it was an entire list topped with male performers.
Yeah.
That alone is super shocking to me.
It is. Now, I think we also have to step a little further back and, you know, it's not as simple as, hey, there were a lot of great performers, therefore, that's why all these people came out. There were also more macroeconomic circumstances at play here. You know, you talked about these comparisons with between now and pandemic times. That's where I think we have to start in terms of noting that the pandemic in and of itself, I think, is a market force that has to be identified here. And we've talked about this in a number of ways across a number of different media over the years here at VIP. I think there is a notion that was at play here where, because people were cooped up in their homes for a number of years, there's this renewed appreciation
of just getting out there, being with other people for a communal experience that I think undoubtedly plays a part in why the market for concerts and festivals is big in 2023.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, if you think about it, for 2 years or so, everyone was so scared to go out and be in big groups like this, but we're seeing this resurgence, not just across live music, but a lot of other in-person experiences as well, whether it's theme parks, travel. I mean, everyone I know was basically in Europe over the weekend, or excuse me, over the summer. And so people have just been dying to get out there, to be a part of a community, to be with like-minded people and celebrate being able to enjoy things outdoors again. And that's exactly why we're seeing all these people opt for live music and concert experiences. Also, music festivals, I want to throw in there as well. The survey found that more than one third of US live music attendees said that going to concerts and music festivals had become more important to them since the COVID-19 pandemic. And also, it's just having that meaningful connection with other fans of the same artist or group, just going there, being together, singing out loud, and enjoying that company, I think is something that you can't replicate anywhere else. And so that energy is really what resonates with people. People also in the survey saying that 57% of them saying that attending concerts and music festivals were some of their favorite memories. And so I think we're going to continue to see more people, you know, so long as we don't see another major COVID issue or anything external like that, I think we're going to continue to see people opt to go outside to be amongst like-minded people and fans and enjoy the music that they love.
But when you're talking about external circumstances, I got to bring something up that a week ago I wouldn't have, which is we are having this conversation just days after an incredible, awful tragedy that took place in Israel. The terrorist attacks, of which perhaps the most heinous, if I could even make these ridiculous comparisons, you know, 260 people killed in an outdoor festival, that, you know, this is not unprecedented. There's been these incidents in many different countries over the years. Even, I think, and it amazes me that people don't even forget, back in 2017, there was a horrifying incident on U.S. soil, in Las Vegas, I believe it was outside the Mandalay Bay,
right.
59 people that got shot. And why do I bring these things up? Because you better believe we're sitting here having this, you know, conversation about how amazing the concert business is. God forbid we see an incident like that happen again on U.S. soil or any major city. It will have a devastating impact on the concert business or the festival business, because the security issues that the concert business has been blessed to have not experienced in major cities, all this progress that we're sitting here crowing about, it will go away very quickly. I can only hope that the major promoters, arenas and stadiums look at what happened in Israel and are not complacent and are doubling down on security issues, because no one is immune anywhere. I hate to be such a downer on that note.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, it's easier for arenas and larger format places like stadiums to implement those kinds of security measures. But I worry about the smaller venues, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not as easy to scan everyone and screen everyone to make sure everyone's, you know, safe and not bringing any, you know, paraphernalia or anything like that. But the attack that happened over the weekend, that was also not internal, right? That was, like you mentioned, it was from external forces coming from the sky. So it's really hard to prevent things like that from happening. But like you said, if something, God forbid, were to happen like that here, it would really, really push the concert business's resurgence back by a lot.
We would be remiss in also not addressing the macroeconomic issues of the concert business. And look, and here it gets a bit complicated, but really interesting, because to no surprise, coming in a year where, you know, there has been economic struggles and issues both in this country, globally, but, you know, we saw average ticket prices for the top 100 tours, Polestar reported, had increased about 10% compared to last year. My guess is
When we get to the end of year numbers, that number will probably be even higher. We saw certainly in resale some astronomical increases as well. And to no surprise, let's see, I believe the number was 62% surveyed said number was the number one barrier to tickets was the cost of tickets. Number two was the fees attached to those ticket prices. And we've seen what a political football that has been all year at both the federal and state level. So no surprise that there's been economic issues. And yet you would think that would have a chilling effect perhaps on the fact on just, you know, the uptake of concert and festival tickets. Not quite. I mean, we're still seeing a very healthy market, even though there are obviously very clear reservations. What do you make of that?
So I think when it comes to the high ticket prices and then separately the high ticket fees, those are two very separate stories. So starting with the high ticket prices, that all stems from inflation, right? We're not just seeing inflation on our day-to-day goods, gasoline prices, you know, your groceries. It's impacting all facets of the economy, and ticket prices happens to be one of them. Unfortunately, when you see a surge in demand, whether it's for concerts or festivals, people are going to mark up the tickets. The sellers are, they know that they have the ability to do so. And the demand for Taylor, for Beyonce, for Coldplay has been so high that they're able to mark them up. Now, people are still opting to go to these experiences because even though their discretionary spending is being reined in because of the current macroeconomic situation, they're opting because this is what makes them happy. This is what gives them the memories, like I mentioned in our other segment. It's picking and choosing where you want to spend your money, right? And apparently for now, people still want to spend their money at concerts and music festivals. Now, to your point about the high ticket fees, that really stemmed from the drama with Ticketmaster, Live Nation, and Taylor Swift. And I think that was a long time coming. These ticket fees were being hidden for a long time, and people didn't really say anything about it because it wasn't really causing too much of an issue. But when that Taylor Swift stuff happened, then it really became this is a much bigger issue that we need to address. And lawmakers have become very serious about addressing it, which I think is great. Now, what kind of reform comes out of it? I think that remains to be seen. I don't know what that picture will look like down the line. But if you were to guess, I don't know, like what kind of things can they realistically do on the fee front, aside from just pushing Ticketmaster and Live Nation to be more upfront with it? Like they can't make them lower them, right?
I mean, so far reform has looked like the ultimate nothing burger. Mm-hmm. It just seems like this is one of those issues where politicians from Joe Biden, who has tweeted about this as recently as just a few weeks ago, on down are saying this just to curry votes with, you know, millennials and younger folk who, you know, really don't do as much voting as they would like. I don't really think this is a real issue in the scheme of things. What I do think, though, is that there is a real kind of schizophrenia about people paying for what they otherwise would say they can't afford to pay for. I mean, there was another stat that really jumped out at me in this survey. More than half of consumers are just as willing to purchase VIP tickets as they were pre-pandemic, while 3 in 10 have become more willing. I mean, this to me speaks to what they talk about in economic circles as revenge spending. Mm-hmm. This notion that, you know, some people are willing to splurge on certain things. There's almost a generational issue here where some economists talk about, you know, among millennials, younger folk, that this is a generation that has come up. They don't think about things like owning homes or saving mm-hmm. up for that kind of high-end stuff. Where do they think about putting their money?
in experiences and concerts, high-end purchases, like experiences like concerts, that's where they're going to spend their money, which sounds alien to older generations that want to put their money in things that are investable. And yet, that's where this generation is, and it seems strange, and yet who are we to judge? Everyone has different values. It's interesting.
But Andy, I think that's the perfect segue into the portion of this survey in which we talk about credit cards and the notion of buy now and pay later, and the fact that so many of the respondents were actually interested in potentially doing a payment plan or using a payment plan or a buy now pay later service to afford a live music ticket. And that is so crazy to me. Yeah. I mean, I am in the millennial generation, but I would never consider doing something like that. Yet you have half of the respondents saying that they're very much interested in doing something like that. And when we asked respondents if they had ever done any of that before, we had 38% of folks say that they have used a payment plan. And then even more interestingly, 34% of respondents said that they opened a credit card specifically for a concert or music festival presale ticket.
It's like, just staggering.
Like, are they reading the fine print? I don't know. Because, I mean, from a personal finance perspective, that could be very dangerous.
Well, here's something else. Here's something else to consider from a personal finance perspective. As you've written about for VIP earlier this year, student loan forgiveness having gone out the window, Joe Biden not coming up short on that front. You know, for millions of young people who are not going to get the breaks that they thought they were going to get, is that at least going to be the thing that perhaps gets them to curb their spending? Because if it does, the Live Nations of the world may want to rethink their rosy projections this year and beyond.
I mean, it certainly can. And we started to see that those student loan repayments began this month.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see, I think, with the next couple of months, especially with the holiday season approaching, where exactly people are starting to tighten their belts. Will it be experiences? So far, we're not seeing any indication that 2024 is going to be that much more materially slower when we're thinking about consumer spending. But again, student loans are a very big part of a lot of people's lives. It's a big payment that we think about every month. And so I would imagine that people would start scaling back on their discretionary spending. But who knows? Like you said, the younger generation still love their experiences and still want to go to these concerts. So that remains to be seen.
Well, don't tell Olivia Rodrigo, the big 2024 concert attraction. Bruce Springsteen's coming back.
Wait, have you heard of a thing called girl math? Where if you purchase a concert ticket or a big ticket item much earlier on before the show happens, then it's not considered spending because you got it so long ago.
Oh.
It's something going on TikTok right now that's so silly. But I mean, that fits into this scenario, right? Like, that's how a lot of people are justifying a lot of their purchases and spending.
Oh my God. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if the 2023 year that has been such a miracle for the concert business, how that translates to 2024. This has been quite a study that we've done, one of the real favorites that we have done in the years that we have worked together at VIP. And I know this is your last one for VIP as you walk off into the sunset. Wishing you the best now that you are moving on to greener pastures.
If you can call it that.
But thank you for spending time with me on this one. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Andy. It was a great one to work on and a great one to end on. And I encourage all the listeners to continue supporting VIP and all the hard work that Andy and the team have been putting in for the past 3+ years. We're always rooting for VIP.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to Variety.com to sign up for the free weekly Strictly Business newsletter.
And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi. Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.